Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. Tonight, I thought we would discuss sibling bullying and sibling rivalry. We did a show about this several weeks ago, and I am still getting emails and Facebook comments about this. Apparently, a lot of parents struggle with what's right and what's wrong, and there is a lot of information and a lot of studies being done in regard to this. The belief always was sibling fighting with each other was like a rite of passage, roughhousing and messing with each other's belongings or trespassing in each other's rooms. Things like that have, I think, went on in all of our families with all of us. I know my sister, there were five of us, and my sister that's right under me is only 18 months younger, and I got a lot of joy out of messing up her room because her side of the room was always clean and mine was always messy. So we would fight, and my parents had different ways of managing it, some very unorthodox and some were pretty much what everybody else does. My favorite story, though, was my mother telling my sister and I that whoever tattled on the other one would get a nickel. And believe it or not, it worked for us when we were quite young. Historically, though, sibling bullying has been accepted as normal and something not to worry about. However, studies have shown that in a lot of cases, it brings on some mental difficulties. I'm not going to say I saw no reports about serious damage being done, but certainly problems and sometimes aggression, sometimes depression, those kind of things. And let's face it, they've got enough to contend with once they leave the home to get into the outside world. We'd like to believe that they're always going to be safe, at least at home. And when you find out that maybe some of that stuff that goes on at home that we always consider a part of growing up is actually causing some damage. So we are lucky tonight to have Izzy Kalman with us, who is a bit of an authority on all of these kind of things. So I like to, on Wednesday nights, talk about things that he can teach us about. So, and Shelley is on the other line. I'm going to bring both of them in so that we can start discussing this. Hi, you guys. This is Renee. Welcome back.
Hey, Renee.
Hi, Renee. Hi, Renee. Hi, Shelley.
Everybody okay?
Yep.
I'm fine.
That's good. That's good. I have gotten a lot of feedback about the show that we did about brothers and sisters bullying each other and of course, the old story about sibling rivalry. And in many cases, a lot of people tell me about they have three or four children, and one is always the underdog, and one is always the leader, which I'm sure doesn't surprise the three of us, but handling it and learning how to help the one that is not fighting back in some cases, I've been told, or is always sad and depressed and doesn't want to go anywhere because a bigger brother or a bigger sister, sometimes it's not even the bigger one, sometimes it's the younger one, is kind of beating them down to a point where they're struggling with outside friendships. So I thought maybe we could talk about that with your help tonight, Izzy.
Okay.
Well, I would say to you, the biggest question I get is parents don't want to favor children And that seems to be the, what I'm picking up. They don't say that to me, but what I'm picking up is they want to treat all their children equally. They want to be fair with each and every one of them, even when they are witnessing the fact that one is the bad kid and one is the good kid. But they're afraid to actually make that, that evaluation of their own children. So they're trying to figure out a way to get them to get along with each other without saying, okay, like Renee and Shelley are sisters and I'm older and I pick on her constantly. And you as the parent see that, but you don't want to make me out to be the bad guy because you love me just as much as you do Shelley. You see where the problem lies, and then consequently it grows into a very big problem for the child that isn't fighting back.
Because usually what happens, the parents want to be fair, and they see the children not fair to each other, and especially if it's the older one picking on the younger one, they think it's not fair. How can they let the older child pick on the younger one? So they take the younger child's side against the older one, and the younger child discovers this is terrific. All they have to do is get their older sibling into a fight, and then the parent takes their side against the older sibling. So they defeat the older sibling by getting the parent on their side. And the parent is trying so hard to get them to stop fighting, but it doesn't work because the younger one likes the advantage of getting the parent on their side, and they keep on provoking the older one to get them into a fight. But the older one is angry both at the younger one for picking on him and gets so angry at the parent also for taking the younger side against them. So the parent is in a dilemma. How do I let my stronger child pick on the weaker one? So they think they have to get involved. They don't realize that if they didn't get involved and they let the kids deal with each other on their own, unless, you know, it's really serious, they'd get along better. I would like to tell you a story about a couple of kids. I have friends. They're a bit younger than me, and they have young kids. And the older son is now 8 years old, and the younger one is about 5 and a half. And when I first got to know them a couple of years ago, they were fighting all the time. The parents were busy punishing them all the time. It took me quite a while to convince them to get out of the kids' fights with each other. A week ago, I spoke to the mother, and the mother told me that the younger one is... everybody loves him. They go to day camp and everybody loves the younger child. And the older one, you know, bosses the younger one around at home. But the younger one does what the older one wants him to and follows him around and serves him. And he's so happy. The younger kid by nature is very happy. And the older one will tell him, I hate you. And you know what the younger one says to him? I love you. And they don't fight. Yeah. There's really very little fighting anymore. And the younger one, all by himself, has figured out that all he has to do is respect the older one and say, I love you, and they get along fine.
Well, and that's, that's a perfect scenario. Are you advocating the fact that that's going to... sorry. that that's always going to be... the way, I mean, what if like the comments that I've gotten and the dilemmas people have handed to me are about they really see that the older child is meaner and the younger child not only isn't fighting back but almost has a fear of the older child, and they often do the bidding of the older child, but it comes under duress. So the parents. What the parents that have talked to me, I want to do something about this, but I love my older child too, and I just think that maybe they're a little jealous, and I kept thinking when they were little that once the second child got a little bit older that some of this would subside, and instead it's worse.
It's worse, but the parents are not letting the kids figure out how to deal with each other on their own. The parent thinks they have to protect the children from each other. But that doesn't make the children like each other better. It makes them more angry at each other. Because when the parent is getting in the middle, each child wants the parent on their side. the parent is the most important person in the world to both of them. So the kids fight over apparent nonsense, and the parents don't understand, why are my kids fighting over such nonsense? Why does it pay for them to get so worked up and to fight so hard over nonsense? It's because they're not fighting over nonsense. They're fighting over the parent. But let me ask you a question. Let's say you have a family in which the children are not fighting. The kids get along and the parents are not fighting. What are the parents doing to try to stop the children's fights? If the kids aren't fighting, what are the parents doing to stop the fights?
Nothing.
Nothing, because there's no fighting. Now, let's say there's a family in which the kids are fighting a lot, and the parents are trying to stop them. The families in which the kids have the most amount of fighting are also the families in which the parents are trying hardest to make them stop fighting, because there's a lot of fighting going, they have to stop it. But when there's no fighting, they don't have to stop it because there's nothing to stop. So if you think about it, you can't be trying to make your children stop fighting if they're not fighting. So you can't be doing, you can't be stopping fighting and having no fighting. The way to have no fighting is not to be stopping the fights. Now, I'm not saying you'd never get involved. If it's dangerous, if they're fighting near the stairs, if one of them is running after the other with a baseball bat, of course you have to stop it. But you stop and you say, I'm sorry, I love you both, I can't let you hurt each other. And then you walk away, no judging, you're not deciding who's right and who's wrong, you're not punishing anybody. You're just being a good parent, you're letting them know that you can't let them injure each other, and that's it. And then they learn how to get along with each other.
Well, what about the young child, though, that comes to you continuously crying and won't leave the house and is visibly becoming scarred by all of this, and you tell the older child to stop? Sometimes there's an age difference of, like, gosh, anywhere from 6 to 10 years between some of these people that talk to me, and I'm like, well, your older child should just know better, period. Well, they do, but they wait till I'm out of the room, and then they say mean things, or they say things that hurt their feelings. I said, do they touch the other child? You know, are they abusive physically? No. They just hurt his feelings. Tell him he's a baby, tell him he's a mama's boy, tell him he's this, tell him he's that. And then this younger child, though, consumes all of your time, and walking away and saying, you know, you're being a baby, from all of the things that I've been reading, because I've been approached on this subject. They're telling you that these kids that don't, this doesn't get dealt with at home, in whatever fashion. I don't disagree with what you're saying to me. I think that's the perfect scenario. But what if the perfect scenario isn't going to work?
Well, then it's not a perfect scenario. But you can teach the children what to do. There are ways of teaching them. I'm not against teaching children how to solve their problems with each other. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you play judge between them and you try to figure out who's right and who's wrong, and you reprimand or punish the wrongdoer, then it sets up the stage for another fight. Because if I punish you for bothering Shelley, then you want to get even. It's not fair. You want to get Shelley punished. So you're going to create another fight and try to get me on your side. But Shelley is busy doing the same thing all the time, too. She's creating fights to try to get me on her side. But this is what I teach parents to do. Let's say Shelley called you a baby, and you're crying to me. Oh, Shelley called me a baby. Do it. Tell me, Daddy, Shelley called me a baby.
Daddy, Shelley and I were watching TV, and she called me a baby for no reason.
Do you believe her?
No, I'm not a baby.
Oh, good. I don't think you are either.
Well, then why does she keep saying that to me, just to be mean to me?
When she calls you a baby, do you get upset?
Yes. She knows I don't like her to do that. I even ask her, please don't call me a baby anymore.
That's right. So when you get upset, does Shelley feel sad or happy?
I think she's happy when she makes me cry.
Yeah, she loves to see you getting crying and getting upset. Now, let's say she were to call you a baby and you didn't care. It didn't bother you. Would it be fun for her?
I don't know. Maybe not.
No, it's only fun if you get upset. She's not calling you a baby because you're a baby. She's calling you a baby because it's fun to get you upset. So let her do it all she wants, and you'll see that she stops doing it after a while.
Yeah, I can imagine a child dealing with it that way. Of course, not all of them, because some of them would just keep arguing with you about the fact that they want you to step in and punish the other child, and I realize that's the goal. But
after a while, when they see that you're not going to punish the other child, then they stop getting upset by you. There's no point in it. They only keep on complaining if there's a reward, and the reward is for you to take their side against the other child. So you don't take any side, and before long, they learn to deal with each other. Now, many adults today, especially in recent years, and even people who deal with parenting, they think that we have to teach children how to get along with each other. Have you ever seen puppies with each other?
Absolutely.
Okay. What do they do all day long?
Play and sleep.
They play fight. They play fight, they sleep, and they eat. When they're play fighting, when the puppies are play fighting, do they draw blood?
No.
Never. Why don't they draw blood? They have long, sharp teeth and claws. Why don't they draw blood?
Because they're careful.
Yeah, they don't want to draw blood. They like to play fight because it's fun. Children, whether it's animal children or human children, are biologically programmed to play fight because playing is preparation for adult lives. So when they're young, they play fight, develop their strength, their coordination, but they're having fun. They're not trying to hurt each other. And the same thing with, you know, human children. They'll play fight. They'll have their little dramas with each other, but they're not trying to hurt each other. It's only when the parents get in the middle, then the stakes go up. They want the parents on each other's side. But other than that, they're not trying to hurt each other. Human beings are social creatures. Social creatures are biologically programmed to learn how to get along with each other, programmed by nature. And this is how it works. What feels better, getting along or not getting along?
Getting along.
Yeah. Getting along feels good. Not getting along feels bad. So children will learn how to get along with each other. When they're getting along, it feels good. When they're not getting along, they feel bad. So if we don't get in the middle, Mother Nature takes its course, and the children learn to get along because it feels better. We don't have to teach children to get along. Do we have to teach children how to talk?
Well, I agree with all of this, and I also agree with the fact that in the cases where all the kids are a lot on the same lines, mentally, physically, intellectually, I think in a lot of the scenarios where we have major problems, it's when intellectually the kids are on the same level.
But they're never on the same level. Siblings are on different levels because one is older than the other.
I don't mean learned. I don't mean already know much as each other. I mean mentally, intellectual. I mean, you have kids that are 6 years old in the same class, and this kid's a big baby and can't do anything by themselves, and the other kid, you know, could get along with second graders. That's the kind of differences I'm talking about. And when those problems start, then it's different.
If we protect them from each other, it increases the hostilities, and it prevents them from learning how to get along with each other because they're being protected. They don't have to bother figuring out how to get along with each other. So we should teach the children who don't know how to get along how to get along. And it's not hard. If you have good ways of teaching, the kids will get it. You know, most of what children learn is much more complex than getting along with each other. Learning how to read, how to spell, how to do math is much more complex than learning how to get along. But people aren't, they're not being taught how to get along. They're being taught you have to be nice, and if somebody's not nice to you, tell on them and we'll protect you from them. That's not teaching them how to get along. But if you have good ways of teaching them to get along, they can pick it up pretty quickly. The secret to getting along is not letting the other person upset you. If the person can't upset you, they stop trying to upset you because it doesn't work.
Well, I agree with that, and I know that that's true. I know that's true with my own personality. But I still think that the problem is bigger than that. I know everything that you've just said is kids fight so that they get mom's and dad's attention, so that they, attention has a lot to do with a lot of children through adult motivation is for attention almost all the time. So I get all of that. I guess I'm just saying because even years ago when I took care of like 11, 12 kids a day, and everybody had different problems. And I also took care of a young boy who had been pretty much hurt as a baby. And he was... Gosh, what's that noise, you guys? Do you hear that noise?
Yeah, I've been hearing it during the entire... It sounds like somebody's dragging boxes back and forth across the floor.
I know. I don't know what it is, though.
It's, you know, I'm sitting... I've been driving. I'm in Tennessee, so I stopped off the road, so sometimes cars go by.
Oh,
so maybe
that's
it's because of
it.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I apologize. I just had to...
That's all right. But I my phone hung up. Did you guys know that I wasn't on the air for a couple minutes?
No. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my phone just went off, and I thought, oh, God, what's the matter? But it let me dial right back in, but something happened. So I thought maybe it was coming from my side here on my phone or the computer. Okay. Well, so I took care of this family, three kids in one family, and the little boy had lots of problems. I mean, just to give you a for instance, one day he came in and opened the refrigerator door and took eggs out and threw them on the floor and just looked at me. And the other kids would laugh at his behavior. And it would egg him on, if you'll excuse the pun, to do more things and more things, you know. And one day he came in and had a frog in his hand and bit the head of the frog off to get all the kids to laugh or gross them out or whatever. He was only 5 years old. And I would catch the older kids, two of which were my own, picking on him. And we would have long talks about not being mean to him. But then I would talk to him and say, you know, you can't do things that make everybody think that you're kind of crazy. And he told me he'd like everybody to think he was crazy. And I said, but then they're going to make fun of you. And I kind of drilled that into his head for the 2 years that I took care of them. But these are, you know, I mean, I guess we're talking about different kinds of problems than just your normal sibling fighting and rivalry and bullying and all of the above when you have a special child. So let's move to that, because I think some of the scenarios that are being presented to me, that is the case. How would you suggest you talk, or are you saying that we shouldn't get involved even when that's the scenario, that the kids should know if it's your brother or your sister and they've got problems, they should they should be able to get through that without you having to coach them with that as well, Izzy?
No, you can coach them. There's nothing wrong with coaching. Coaching means teaching. But
right.
It's a problem when we start taking sides between them. Who's right? Who's wrong? You're older. You should know better. So
yeah.
Let's say you have one of the children has problems and they really can't get, you know, they really have problems objectively. You can tell the other kids, you know, this kid has problems and he really isn't able to control himself or he doesn't understand. Maybe it can be nicer to him. But let me also ask you a question about this boy that said he liked, you know, acting crazy. When
right.
kids were making fun of him, did he get upset?
No, he, if they laughed and went, oh, God, oh, that's gross and stuff like that, he thought that was very funny. He thought he was being entertaining.
Well, he probably was.
Yeah, well.
If he wasn't getting upset, why should you get upset? It means he's enjoying it. People play clowns. They do things to entertain other kids, and sometimes they act silly for doing it. But if they're not getting upset, you know, what's the problem? If the other kids
okay.
are making, yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point of view because as an adult, I realized they were making fun of him. So you're telling me that it was my problem, not his.
Now, of course, I don't know the kid and I wasn't there to see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's not getting upset, why make a big deal about it? I mean, the kids were, you know, laughing. Maybe they were laughing at him. But he was in control. He knew what he was doing. He didn't mind the kids laughing at him. From his point of view, he's entertaining them, making them laugh. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't getting upset. Now, maybe in a couple of years later, maybe he'd understand better and realize, or maybe he'd feel that it's not okay for them to laugh at him, so then maybe he'll stop doing these crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're laughing at him, it means they're enjoying it also. They're enjoying his antics. He's enjoying making them laugh. He's not getting upset. Why is it a problem?
Mm-hmm. Well, so you're saying to me that from the point of view as the adult in the room, if I looked and assessed the situation and saw what was going on, and if everybody was laughing and there didn't seem to be anything that was really, I didn't like the kid biting off the head of a frog very much, but...
Yeah, that's not nice.
Yeah, and, but I mean... So it was really my issue of feeling like, as an adult, that they were making fun of him when it's very possible that they were just enjoying it. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of times that happens with adults as well. Yeah, I get that.
You know, even as adults, we'll go to circuses and there'll be clowns, and the clowns are making fools of themselves and they're falling over the place, and they make us laugh.
Mm-hmm.
The clowns enjoy making us laugh. They act silly to make us laugh.
Right.
So before there were circuses, people did it in real life because people want to have.
Well, and I think the big lesson here that you just taught us, or that you just taught me, is that sometimes when you're dealing with young people like that, and something is offensive to you because you're an adult, or because you are thinking. And that it's not nice for them to be laughing at somebody who's behaving that silly, then that's the adult's own stuff. And instead of jumping to the conclusion that they have to protect the boy that everybody's in your eyes making fun of, they're actually enjoying it. So maybe a little bit closer scrutiny about what's really going on instead of putting the adult twist on it, looking at it from a kid's point of view, is a better idea. And maybe that's true of a lot of the things we watch the kids do.
Yeah. If they're not getting upset, why should we get upset?
Because it's our job, Izzy.
Our job to get upset.
Well, it's our job to monitor.
There is one interesting point, though, and you were saying about this one kid who it's like he was an Ozzy Osbourne wannabe with the frog deal there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is there, because, I mean, there are children, and although it's very rare, thank God, but there are children who have mental disorders. I mean, they have sociopathic.
Yes.
tendencies, things like that. Now, when is it just a kid going for shock effect, and when is it a kid who is possibly disturbed? Because, you know, biting the head off a live animal, regardless of whether or not it's a frog or not, I mean, I couldn't imagine if when I was 5 or 6 years old harming an animal, a little bird, I went out of my way to save them all the time. And for a child to have that lack of like that normal switch, because most children love animals, to not have that little turn off, is that, I mean, that doesn't really fall into bullying. That falls into something different, as far as I'm concerned.
That's pretty serious behavior. I would be concerned about such a child. Now, you have to try to find out why he's doing it. Now, there are children who had very dysfunctional childhoods, and they grew up being dysfunctional and lacking empathy and stuff like that. Now, if a 5-year-old does it, it's not as serious as if a 10-year-old does it. The 5-year-old, maybe they don't realize how serious it is. Maybe the 5-year-old is getting so much off on entertaining the kids by acting crazy that he does such a crazy stuff without really thinking it through. If a 10-year-old did it, it would be more serious.
Gotcha.
But let's say my child is I have a little kid who did this. Instead of getting angry at the child, I'll express the pain. I'll say, wow, look what you did. You killed the frog. I'm so sad. It's dead now, and it's not alive anymore. I'll try to get you to understand that you killed it, and it's so sad, and I feel so sad. And hopefully you'll learn that it's the wrong thing. Now, if you have no compassion, you know, there are human beings who are incapable of compassion. It's rare, but they exist. If with a kid like that, you have to protect others from them. Sometimes we do have to protect people from very disturbed people.
Right.
Even when they're your brother or your sister.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there are kids who are very disturbed, and we do have to protect others from them. But it's rare. It exists, but it's rare.
Right. Yeah. Well, like I said, I always looked at it as him figuring out that it got him a lot of uninterrupted and continuous attention. And if I talked to him and sat him down and told him, you know, what was wrong about that and everything, he would always sit and listen to me. I didn't have those kind of problems with him, but I did have, you know, those kind of things. I was pregnant with my youngest child, and we were playing baseball out back, and he wanted his turn, and when I said no, we were playing with one of those big fat Albert bats, you know, one of those great big rubber or plastic giant bats, and he hit me in the belly with the bat, and I got very upset, and I took the bat away from him, and I told him he couldn't play anymore, and I took him in the house, and I said, are you going to feel bad if you hurt my baby? And he said no, and he ended up crying, so I knew that he would, you know, he did feel bad and everything. But this is the kind of thing when I say to you that in some families, maybe not to the degree as this little boy, and this little boy grew up to be a pretty good man and everything, just to make sure everybody knows that about him. But this is sometimes the kind of scenario that I'm talking about in some of these families, and a parent is, you know, kind of like pulled in two different directions, knowing that one kid needs more help than the other, but not, I mean, I get this complaint, you know, my brother got all the attention because he was, you know, he was a beast, or he was a brat, or he was this, he got everybody's attention. And I hear that all the time. And I know that it's true. I know it to be true because I've seen families like that.
Yeah. Now, the bad child in the family gets more attention than all of the other kids put together.
Yeah.
But what's happening?
Oh, that's
true.
Know,
and the parents are spent so much time trying to make the child behave better, they don't realize that they're actually pushing the child to behave badly by giving them attention and giving them power. Now, you said before that children want attention, and you're right. Attention is a very, very powerful motivator. But it's not only attention, it's also power. People want power. So if the children can drive their parents crazy, that's really powerful. I can take on my parents, I can drive them nuts, and they can't stop me. So the children want power.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can get us angry, they have power over us. So one of the rules that I teach people is, if somebody hurts you, don't get angry at them. Just show them that you're hurt. Because if let's say you're my child and you do something to me that I don't like and I get angry at you. I get angry because I want you to feel sorry for what you did. But instead of feeling sorry, you get angry back at me. And you feel justified in getting me angry because you think I'm the bad guy. When I'm angry at you, you feel I want to hurt you. But if I don't get angry and I just let you know that I'm hurt without any anger, then you'll probably feel bad for hurting me because you don't really want to hurt me. You only want to drive me crazy, but you don't want to hurt me.
Right.
So if your children hurt you, know that you're hurt, but don't get angry at them. And you can even do it about their sibling. Let's say your child hurts their sibling. Instead of getting angry, you can say, you know, it really hurts me when you hurt your brother. I love you both, and you're hurting him, and I really feel hurt when you hurt your brother. Maybe you could be nice to him instead. But if I get angry, you do. Look what you did to your brother. Why are you so mean to him? Then you're going to feel like you have to defend yourself and justify yourself, and you get angry back at me. So if we just let them know that we're hurt, then they usually feel sorry for what they did.
Okay, so... Yeah. So, and that's a good way to explain to the parents how they should be acting. Now, my other question in this same kind of a setup, everything's the same except now you've got this other kid over on the sideline, who is trying to be a good kid, not doing anything wrong, and he's got to deal or she's got to deal with this sibling. Who's, like you just said, getting the most attention because they're they're doing all kinds of stuff to get it, and the good kid who's trying to just be a good kid ends up feeling hurt and left out and you know, not cared about because the one that's a problem is taking up all the parents' time. So how do we help that child?
By not giving so much attention to the child who's acting badly.
I know, but that's obviously not so easy. I mean, you know, when that's like saying to me, you know, I'm going to sit there while you're, you know, throwing your mashed potatoes at me at the dinner table. Eventually, I'm going to turn around and you're going to be wearing the mashed potatoes to bed. So it's hard to say that. I can imagine it working some of the time, but certainly not all of the time. So
it's important to be a good parent, which means that if you have a child who's misbehaving, you don't just let them misbehave, but you teach them, you deal with them in a positive way, not by getting angry at them and punishing them. So if the child is throwing mashed potatoes, you can say, oh, I thought you wanted to eat. I'll take the food away. And you take the food away so they have more food to throw. But if they say, but I'm hungry. So you say, oh, but you were throwing the food away. I thought you didn't want it. You have to stay calm. You have to treat them like a friend, meaning you don't get angry at them. You don't look to punish them. It's not necessary. You deal with the misbehavior, but you don't do it angrily. And even if you think about it, and you were saying that the good kid is sitting by and he's not getting attention. Well, why doesn't he misbehave also to get more attention? It's
because
even
it's just
though,
not in him.
But also he enjoys being the good one. It might not be in him, but he also likes being the good one because he feels deep down, my parents like me better. They don't yell at me. They don't punish me. They're prouder of me. So he doesn't want to act bad. He's happy that the other one is getting in trouble all the time. The good one likes seeing the bad one getting in trouble. Even though the bad one is getting a lot of attention, they know that their parents really like them better because they behave well. Now, you can do a very simple experiment. I actually did this with my own children. And I have three kids. The youngest one is 6 years younger than the second one. And until the youngest was born, the two kids, my daughter and my son, who are 2.5 years apart, got along beautifully. We didn't get into their fights, and they loved each other. They got along beautifully. But when the youngest was born, it really bothered my son, the second born, because now he felt dethroned, and now there's a baby who's so cute. And he really resented it. So he started behaving badly. He also started first grade at the same time, and school was tough for him, and he doesn't attend that well. So school wasn't that much fun for him. So he was pretty miserable. And he would, for a long time, he would behave badly, and he would get us, upset with him and getting busy with him. At one point, I decided to do an experiment. And my wife and I got together, and we told our older daughter, who behaves beautifully, we told her, we're going to do an experiment. We're going to start being mean to you. We're going to criticize you. We're going to complain about all kinds of nonsense. But it's only an act. So she said, okay. So for a few days, we were picking on her for all kinds of nonsense, and our son loved it. And he behaved so well. He became the good one. But the good one became the bad one became the good one, because he was so happy that his sister was getting in trouble or getting reprimanded. You're always going to have a good one and a bad one, or at least almost always.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I
guess that's true.
Have you guys, there's a show on TV that I think is absolutely brilliant. I've watched it a couple of times. And it follows so much of what you're saying, Izzy. It's called Nanny 911. It's actually two different shows where they, and it's always British. It's always British nannies that they bring in, these women, and they're trained. And they come into these households where the children are just horrible. I mean, not only are they horrible to each other, but they're horrible to the parents, and they're unruly, and they don't pick up after themselves, and no matter what the parents do, they can't get them in line. And the one family, it was like five different children, and it was like, oh my God, these parents were ready to have nervous breakdowns. This nanny came in, and in under a week, she had all five of the kids respecting each other, respecting the parents, and it's doing what you're talking about, Izzy, because she taught the parents that, she said, you're letting your kids dictate how you act. She said, you have to, number one, stay calm. She said, you have to say what you mean and mean what you say. She said, you have to be consistent. And that's the problem with a lot of parents, is that they're not consistent. They say, well, if this happens, that's going to happen, and then this happens, and that doesn't happen, so the kid doesn't expect anything. But without any corporal punishment, without any touching or anything, they very effectively found ways of disciplining the child. Like what you said, if the kid's acting out, throwing food, you don't get up and smack them or start screaming and yelling. The nanny just got up, took the plate away from the child, and did exactly what you just said. That's what made me think of the show. She said, oh, I guess you're not hungry, and took the plate right away from the kid. And she got hysterical. And she would not give him the food back. She says, food is not for throwing, it's for eating. Next meal, we'll give it a shot again and see if you can do it the right way. She wouldn't give him his food back. And
right.
The next meal did not do anything. But it's like, it was very calm, didn't scream at the child, didn't make the child leave. She let the child stay there at the table watching everybody else eat, It was more, instead of reactive behavior, it was responsive. When the children did anything, the nanny just responded very calmly, and in under a week, these kids saw a pattern, and their behavior, because it was very consistent, every time they did this thing, she did this thing. And she actually had to retrain the parents. And I watched at least a half a dozen of these shows, and all different types of problems. Some of these kids were violent to each other. Some of them were bullies to each other. And in every case, by training the parents and dealing with these kids consistently, they would literally turn these families around. It was an amazing show. And it's all based on a lot of what you're talking about, Izzy. So there are other substantiation out there that what you're recommending him could work in a family dynamic. And even if there's more than two siblings, even if there's more, you know, even if there's multiple siblings that are causing issues for each other and for the parents, you know, and the way is to be consistent and to inspire compassion. That was one of the other things that the nanny used, is instead of yelling and screaming at the kids and saying, oh, that's horrible, how can you act like that, they would say something like what you said, oh, that makes me sad. Not that makes me angry, oh, that
yeah.
makes me sad that you would do that, or that makes me sad that you would say that. Because that inspires compassion from the child. When you tell them, well, how can you do that, that makes me angry, even if the kid knows he's wrong, it puts them in self-defense mode. Now they have to
right.
protect themselves. But when you tell a kid, oh, that makes me sad, now they're feeling bad for you, and it's a different energy. It makes
right.
them it makes them feel bad that they did what they did. Where when
right.
you tell them you're angry with them, it makes them want to defend themselves. You get a completely
right.
different reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're angry at them, they feel under attack by you. They feel you want to hurt them.
Right.
So they don't feel sorry. They want revenge.
Right.
You know, you were talking about the importance of consistency. Consistency is important, but it's not the only thing. You have to consistently do things the right way. If you're consistently
right.
getting angry, it's consistent, but it's not going to work. You
right,
have to
right.
be consistent, but without anger. You know, the way I explain that anger, biologically, is what we feel towards an enemy. We get angry at people when they do things against us. And it was programmed into us from our days of life in nature, when life was dangerous and there were animals attacking us and killing us. So anger is to scare off the enemy or to have the drive to tear them to pieces. So when we're angry at people, we are treating them like they're our enemies. So they'll treat us back like enemies. So if we get angry at our children, they feel we're treating them like enemies, and then they'll treat us back like enemies. So
yeah.
we really have to avoid getting angry at our children. It doesn't work.
Well, that's a good point. That, all of those are good points, and that is true. And I know, well, I've raised my own kids and several other ones, and I will go along with that. And I will say that in most cases, I'm a talker. I'm the kind of a mom, a talker. When I was a little, my father was an Irish Catholic, and you do as I say, and you don't ask. And when
mm-hmm.
he would say that to me, I vowed to myself as young as 6 years old that if I told one of my kids to do something and they asked me why, I would tell them why. And be that wrong or right, I made that decision at a very young age. So when my kids did question me, I'd say, this is why I'm asking you to do this, because I think you might get hurt, or I think this is the wrong thing for you to do, or whatever the reason, I explained to them my point of view. And they'd say, but, and I say, there are no buts. This is the way it is because I'm in charge, and this is what I say is going to happen. But I want you to know why I made this decision, because my dad would never say that. And so I believe in everything that you're saying. I just know that there's always these circumstances that change things a little bit. And I think everybody should know, if they live in a family with all these different kinds of things that can happen in a family, we are not so black and white, us families, as you both know. And everybody has different problems. So I think it's kind of fun to talk about some of the different kinds of things that people have said to me and things that I've witnessed myself, so that we get some answers out there. And I think tonight's answers were really good. I do have a question, though. What I was leading up to about what I said about this kid that gets jealous because the bad kid is getting all the attention. Now, explain again how you're saying that they already think or assume that mom and dad like them best because they're a good kid, they're not a pain, they don't
right.
require all that attention, but they still are not getting all that attention. And you don't think there's a slight there or a something that can harm that child or hurt that child's feelings or anything, you think that they really hang on to the fact that because they're being a good kid that mom and dad like them best?
Well, they feel that way because there's no hostility towards them from the parent. Now, of course, they may be jealous of the attention, but they would rather be jealous than be yelled at by the parents. It's still a better position. However, there's nothing wrong with giving children individual attention. Children deserve attention. So it's a wonderful thing to take your children out separately and spend some individual time with them. Kids love that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a kid who's getting a lot of attention, take the other one and go, you know, do something with them without anybody else, and they'll be so happy.
Well, because I had four kids and because I always took care of other people's kids, I would do that Friday night shopping one kid at a time until they got older and shopping wasn't such a big deal and they'd rather stay home. But that's what I would do when we'd have a Sunday or we'd do something special while we were by ourselves. So I agree. I think that that is very important. But one of the other problems that has been brought to me, and I haven't heard from this person in a while, but she has a child who's just incredibly angry and thinks that his parents are really, really mean to him, no matter what they do. If they reprimand him in any way, shape, or form, you can't take the car because, you have your learner's permit and you're not allowed to take the car by yourself. This kid goes ballistic on them and things like that. Now, when you have a child that's obviously struggling and something else is going on, what do you suggest to parents like that? Do you suggest that they get some additional help? Do you suggest, what do you say to them, Iz?
Well, certainly if parents aren't succeeding in solving a problem, go for help. There's nothing wrong with help. Now, sometimes therapy is good. Sometimes, children have something disturbing them and they need somebody outside of the family to talk to. But my main concern is for the parents. If the parents can learn how to solve the problem on their own, that's the best thing. So I want to know if they're reprimanding the child, how they're doing it. If they're angry at the kid because the kid is having a fit because he didn't get the car, the anger is not going to make the child behave better. So there are ways of dealing with it. So let's say you're a kid who, whenever I say no to you, you get really mad at me. No. So instead of just saying no, I'll tell you I wish I could. So let's say, you want to take the car, but you're not allowed to take it yourself. You only have a permit. You can only drive with somebody else in the car or however it works. So if you're not allowed to take the car, let's say legally you're not allowed to take the car by yourself.
Right,
I'm not
going
to say, no, you can't have the car. You only have a driver's permit. I'll tell you, I wish I could let you take the car, but you only have a driver's permit. You're not allowed to drive it. I wish I could let you, but you're not allowed to. So instead of just saying no, I'll preface it with, I wish I could, but I can't. Once I let you know I wish I could, how mad could you be at me? I wish I could do it. But you know that you can't. You don't have a license.
So
I'll always try to teach the parent how to deal with the kid so the kid stops throwing these tantrums.
Right.
So they don't get what they want.
Izzy, in your opinion, how old, when a kid is still throwing those kind of temper tantrums, should a parent be concerned and ask for additional help?
Well, whenever they have a problem, they should ask for help. Now, the question is, what kind of help? Now, very often, parents will take their oppositional, defiant children to a therapist, to an individual therapist, and the kid will go to therapy for months and years, and it doesn't really help. What is really needed is for the parents to learn how to deal with the kid. Very often, therapists will, what they think they're supposed to do is listen to the children's feelings and empathize with the child. So if you're this oppositional, defiant child, and you come to my office, and you're telling me how mean your parents are, and I sit there and I validate your feelings, oh, your parents are so mean, I validate the way you feel. That's not going to make you treat your parents better. It's going to make you feel justified in being mean to them because I'm accepting the way you feel. Mm-hmm. So if you come to me for help because you're oppositional and defiant, I'm not going to sit there and sympathize with your feelings. What I'm going to do is to teach you why you're not getting what you want from your parents. How come your parents are so mean to you? You get angry at them, you throw fits. Why don't they give you what you want? So what I'll do is I'll teach you that the reason they're not giving you what you want is because you're getting angry and throwing fits. That doesn't make them want to listen to you. Plus, how can they give you privileges? You're acting like a baby. So I will teach you that if you show your parents respect, they'll give you pretty much anything they can. Your parents want respect from you. And if you respect them, they'll be happy to give you whatever they can. So I don't just accept people's feelings. That's not therapy. Therapy is teaching people how to solve their problems.
Well, I think of course, I agree with you. And I do know that in a lot of cases, when somebody tells me that the problem just keeps getting bigger and bigger, I am aware of the fact. In most cases, that's because somebody else lit the match and they're fanning the flames with their behavior as well. So
right.
I do get that. And I think that's interesting, and I think that's really important for people to understand that yelling, and I'm not much. If I yell, even today, with a house full of grown people, the teenagers, of course, do as well, but even my 45-year-old son, if I raise my voice, you can hear a pin drop in my house because it's not what I do. And I always taught young mothers and my own kids, if you scream all the time, what if your kid is running in the road and he's 2 years old and you scream and scream and they're so used to hearing you scream that they don't even turn around and look and they get hit by a car. How are you going to feel? And they always look at me like they're devastated and I say, well, how are you going to feel? I said, every time you scream, they become so immune to that scream that it will never mean anything if you really need it to work.
Right.
So,
it's like the boy crying wolf. If he cries wolf all the time, nobody takes him seriously. Also with screaming, once in a blue moon, if you scream, it's okay. Because the kids will know it's very unusual. They'll take it seriously. But if you scream all of the time, it doesn't mean anything to them.
That's right. Well, or to you, and then pretty soon you're frustrated because you really don't know how to express yourself anymore because you've screamed yourself out. So you no longer know how to make a really, really big point because you've screamed so much. What's left to make the point with? So, I hope some people listened. I put something on Facebook tonight, and I know a couple people were gonna listen. And if they couldn't, they're gonna listen on Facebook later tonight. But I hope we help some people because this is an issue. And along with everything kids contend with and parents contend with in the outside world, they do need to know how to get along with each other and how to deal with each other. That's certainly one of the most important things I think we can do for anybody. So I want to thank you both again. When you were talking about the Nanny movie, I got a big kick out of Nanny McPhee. Did either one of you see Nanny McPhee?
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
It's a very, very cute movie.
Nanny McPhee,
and Monster Children, I mean, like, hilariously Monster Children, and she just teaches them, and she's horrible when she arrives, and with each child that gets better, she gets nicer looking, and it's quite a movie. I took some of the younger kids to see it, and they got a big kick out of it when it came out. So,
Is it animated?
No. I can't think. The actress is somebody you would know, but I can't think of her name
Leah
right
Thompson?
Now. Can you?
Isn't it Leah Thompson?
Yes.
Emma Thompson.
Yep, and she is in this movie. She is awesome, and the kids are adorable. And it's really a very cute movie. And taking a 5 or a 6 year old to it, they have lots of questions afterwards, which I thought was kind of cute. So thank you both. And I think hopefully we answered a lot of questions for a lot of people tonight and helped somebody someplace. And I tried to get a hold of that middle school, and nobody's there yet except for custodial people. So I still intend to do that. I guess school is some supervisors are going to be there next week. So thank you, everybody. And from my heart to yours, everybody out there, good night and God bless. Good night, Iz. Good night, Shelly.
Good night, Shelly. Good night, Renee.
Good night. Good night, Izzy. Good night, Renee. Good night, everyone.